And we are back with the very first episode of 2023 of the podcast presented by Simple Math Matrix. It's your boy, Mr. AKA Superall357, best known as Prince Godbody. And I'm joined by
the God King Hoopla.
And, well, luckily we did have an episode to cover the end of the year. So,
yeah,
we covered most of the big important topics of last year. So we'll start this year on a new page.
Yes, sir.
And luckily, we're starting this year on a new page without having an RIP to report. Though notable people have passed away.
It's at the beginning of the year.
It's been, literally. You know what I'm saying? We have that bridge gap in time to where, you know what I'm saying?
We didn't cover. Yeah.
Exactly. But the big real news that has occurred since we've stepped away has been this Republican House Speaker vote. Have you heard anything about this, Nate?
Yeah, I've seen it like pop up vaguely, read about it a little bit, but I didn't read too much into it.
All right, so the Republicans are showing their infighting on the outside now. They had to elect their House Speaker, and in 164 years, something like this hasn't happened.
Yeah.
To where they were essentially continually not able to agree on electing Kevin McCarthy for the speech. You know what I'm saying? Which, it was a show of power for the new Republicans, more or less. I won't say Trumpers, more or less, but more of those definitely different, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were asking for certain things to be changed in order for them to give their votes, which he did succeed to, just to get the votes and get things moving. And like I said, the 15th time, he wasn't finally elected after them damn near going to blows on the House floor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like,
I've seen
literally
the picture,
going
yeah.
to blows on the House floor. They got it settled. And my big question right now is, how do you have faith in American politics when both sides can't even agree with themselves?
Oh yeah, I feel like I feel like that's been a reoccurring theme in a lot of politics recently, like in the past 10 years.
10 years, you would say? I don't think it would be 10 years. I think that might be a little bit far fetched.
I mean, because you can say 10 years, because you can say 2 years before Trump got elected, when he started actually trying to campaign, and then you got 4 years of him being in office, and now he's about to be, and now we're running on Biden's 4 years, so that's about 10 years.
But the parties being split like they are, and what I mean by that is we haven't seen this in 164 years.
Yeah.
They couldn't just like say, all right, this guy can be it. We're all like, that's like saying, all right, you and all your family get together, and eventually, like, the guy who should be it, or everybody, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, y'all may oppose it, but fuck it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Fuck it. They couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened so evidently on the left side of things. But in the public, you see, you've got people who call themselves Democrats,
yeah,
and they support a whole different type of government than your traditional moderate, essentially, Democrat.
Yeah.
And so now where we are now, that's so fucking redundant, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But with that said, and where we are now in American politics, what is there to really have faith in? Like, how are these people still so diehard, dedicated to these parties that can't even agree to themselves? So where are American politics? Where are American politics right now?
I think they're evolving with society, if that makes sense. Because as we move into this new, as we continually evolve and move into this new age of opinions and everything and stuff like that, even the hardcore left and the hardcore right evolves with it, too. You know what I'm saying? And then the hardcore stances, which...
Well, no, the hardcore sides, I don't think evolve.
Well, I'm not...
They're not supposed to. That's why they are hardcore. They're true to the roots.
But if you're saying what you're saying, like the new Republicans and the old Republicans, new Republicans wanted things to be changed,
because the new Republicans are the Trumpers. So, I mean, I hate to.
But it's kind of what I'm saying. So it's like ignorance. It all has its own values. That's what I'm saying. And I don't want to say it like this, but if we bring Trump, I don't care. I'm gonna say it. It's building on ignorance.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So. The newer ignorance is going to have the old and new.
But it's still, the values are consistent. The thing with the new ignorance, I feel like, is it's the exact same as the old ignorance. It's just cleaned up verbally.
Yeah, that's essentially what I mean, too.
Oh, well, yeah, that's essentially what I mean, if we're agreeing on that, then yeah. But that doesn't mean that it's different. It's just presented in a different way. Like, different. 3 times 2... and 2 times 3 are not different math problems.
No, they're not.
They're just presented in a different way. Yeah. And that's kind of the point I'm trying to push.
I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the faith in American politics has been diminished over.
Oh, it's been diminished. Yeah.
So it's like, and I understand what we're doing is zeroing in on like a key factor in it, which I think a lot of people, and it's crazy enough to think that this wasn't push more
in the mainstream, it was
but it wasn't something, it's something I seen come across like my CNN news,
yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't something I seen pop up on my TL.
What was even you saw come up on your TL then?
A whole bunch of shit. Oh, but shit, what up?
Because like that's what I'm saying, yeah. Like, it's, if you didn't saying? See this come up on your TL, like, and this is something that
this
it directly impacts us.
Yeah.
This is our American government being in turmoil.
It's like an old
school, almost 2 years to the date of the insurrection.
Yeah, it's like an old school.
Or a year, two years. Yeah. 2 years. Go ahead, my bad.
It's like one of the old school parliaments. Like in the English Exchange, you ever seen those paintings where they were fighting?
In fighting, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what that reminded me of.
I guess that's good. I want to say politician. That's good politicking.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like that shows that the government is, there's going to be change. We don't know, or you know what I'm saying?
It shows
that there's activity in the government, at least.
There's emotion behind it?
Yeah, I guess that, at the least. At the very least. Mm-hmm. But like you were saying, you didn't really see this on your timeline. So what did you see on your timeline?
Oh, well, I definitely, we're talking about we didn't really mention RIPs, but this kind of does mention to RIP. Rest in peace to Big Scar, who passed away.
I'm not sure if we did. Yeah. I think we did, but I'm not sure if we got to shout him out.
No, he passed away this year.
Last year.
No, this year.
No, he passed away in the new year.
Yeah, he passed away this year. I can't.
But it's all right, so go ahead.
But yeah, well, Big Scar passed away. Gucci Mane's artist for the new 1017. He passed away from a drug overdose or some drug.
Apparently.
Yeah, but the story is now.
He passed away last year, 3 days before Christmas.
Oh, 3 days before Christmas. Oh, okay.
Go ahead, though.
I'm sorry. But the story now is how the family is mad at Gucci Mane for not paying for the entire funeral.
Yeah. Or.
Or in with him only, and not being grateful for the amount that he did donate.
But at this point, we're not really sure what they're complaining about. Well, I won't say it that way. We're saying it's about the amount of money.
Yeah, we are.
Right?
Yeah.
That's plain what the argument is about. Or not. The scuffle, the misunderstanding, however we want
to phrase
it.
That's what the talk of the town has been on. Yes.
All right, so. Let's start off. My question is, how do you think that Gucci gave enough to the funeral and the funeral proceedings?
How do I think he gave enough?
With Big Scar being his artist and him being Gucci Mane, a millionaire, do you feel like he gave enough?
I feel like, damn, I kind of want to go into my direct point about it.
Go ahead.
Oh, because my direct point about it is, I don't feel like we should be upholding Black men, you know what I'm saying, empowered to what the fuck they paying if we're not holding other executives to what they're paying out for when their artists die. As we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. That's another. Okay. I'm
going to answer your question. I'm going to answer your question now. Could Gucci have done more? Yes. Could other people have done more? Probably so. That, you know what I'm saying? Known Big Scar to have money and stuff like that. Yeah, of course. But what he did, was that enough? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, he didn't have to give nothing. And I understand if you're an executive and you're like your workers and stuff like that. But I'm going to break it down to like this too. Because as somebody who works in like warehouse and stuff like that, and work in a factory and stuff like that, and I've worked with old people who have passed away that have worked at a job that didn't like quit or nothing like that, but passed away like while still working a job. You know what I'm saying? The job just continues going and stuff like that. And that's just how society works.
I'm not sure if that's even the point to go. Him giving $20,000 for a funeral. Excuse me. Him giving $20,000 for a funeral is something that you can't really fucking scoff at all. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's more so a misconception that people get as to when people pass away, especially rich and famous people that pass away, that this is about to be some expensive, the most expensive casket that's ever been sold. It's been $40,000.
$40,000, yeah.
So if they paid $15,000 for his casket, it's probably going to be in the top 20 to 1,000 or 20 caskets ever sold or whatever.
Yeah.
Even that point aside, he's not Gucci Man as his. I know that it's insensitive, but it's true to say that he's not obligated to pay for this man's funeral.
Yeah.
Especially if they have a structure that's set up to where you're able to get life insurance and things like that. And the guy didn't opt, and Big Scar didn't opt for that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If the type of infrastructure that Gucci has set up with 1017 is enabling them to have, you know, lawyers and health insurance, then him putting $20,000 towards a funeral is more than gracious, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Now, if he was just giving these guys a check and a chain, then, you know, I feel like morally, ethically, in your heart of hearts, you know you're obligated to just kind of take care of it all. Mm-hmm. Another thing they had about it was returning the chains. Mm-hmm. And the idea, I would feel like, if coming from Gucci, well, bury him with them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I also don't want some random Memphis motherfucker running around with a 1017 chain just because, you know, because he got it.
Mm.
Now, do we uphold, like you said, like the point you made of upholding black execs up to the standard of white execs? Well, that doesn't really apply here. When motherfuckers pass at Empire, they get mad because they have life insurance.
Mm-hmm. They get mad.
They get mad.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy.
When life insurance.
Yeah, exactly. Those guys have life insurance. It's a conspiracy, yeah. But it makes sense to have life insurance.
Oh, yeah, for anybody, yeah. If you're a high-profile person, no matter that. They say rap is the most dangerous occupation, but it's not. It's being a celebrity. And it's just because everything you have is on constant display.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows. Everybody recognizes your face. Especially, like you said, if you're a high-profile celebrity. You know what I'm saying? Like, what happened with Meek in Africa a couple weeks ago?
When he got his phone stolen.
When he got his phone stolen and stuff like that. Like, shit happened. You know what I'm saying? Because people just know who you are.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But,
the target then.
Exactly. And, yeah. And that's why you need life insurance. That's why people.
Well, I mean.
That's why I think
if celebrities you have need anything, life insurance. If you've gained anything for your life and you want your children to be good, you should have life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you have kids, you should have life insurance.
And a will.
Yeah.
And a will. That's I think that's also something that rappers, younger rappers are realizing they have to do.
Get a will?
Yeah, make a will. Yeah, write their will and stuff like that. Because as we've seen with Takeoff situation, there was a back
end. Family. Exactly.
Because there was nothing set up for that. And yeah, so that's a sad case. That's like a really sad part of the grieving process, I'd say. When money becomes involved.
Yeah, exactly. That's the word.
And that's something, and in that part is something I definitely can give my heart out to the family for, because even though like they're making a whole big spectacle about everything and stuff, mm-hmm. like everything's being like blasted, like because this could have been like handled privately.
Oh yeah,
yeah, this definitely could have been handled privately. You know what I'm saying?
But the brother got on Instagram or whatever live. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the father cleared it up, saying that you can't shit on the man. He gave us money. I paid for the rest. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's as real as you can get with it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
In my opinion.
Nah, you right. Damn, what the fuck you made me lose my train of thought?
My bad.
Damn, I ain't gonna hold you. Fuck it.
That's a terrible segue.
That was terrible.
But DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, DeMar Hamlin. Oh, yeah, so last week, yeah.
Was it last week?
It was last week, yeah.
Right. You want to give the background to this?
Yeah, last week during Monday night's football game, Cincinnati Bengals versus Bills versus Cincinnati, because in Cincinnati, Bills versus Cincinnati. It was like 3 minutes into the first quarter, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and it was it was on a pass route, and DeMar Hamlin. What? Jesus,
you're mixing up Higgins and DeMar Hamlin. But go ahead.
Because that's who the play involved. But DeMar Hamlin had made a tackle on T. Higgins. Nothing, and he got up and he just collapsed. Yeah, and then the medical staff had came on and it looked very different from any type of injury, mm-hmm. even like ACL. Like you know, what I'm saying when somebody tears the ACL, like they're even
he was out cold.
Yeah, he was out cold.
CPR for 9 minutes.
Yeah, twice.
And that's the big part, mm-hmm. is how much CPR they had to give him after this, because nobody had no clue what's going on.
Yeah,
and they're giving him CPR. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, after a certain amount of time, not having oxygen to your brain is kind of a lost cause.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of how people were understanding it at the time. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So that happened, and they ended up giving him CPR like twice in 9 minutes. And they ultimately ended up getting him on oxygen before, like, getting him into the ambulance and then taking him to the hospital.
Yeah, so eventually he gets to the hospital. He was, you know, pretty much in a medically induced coma with a tube down his throat.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't talk or anything like that. It wasn't long before he was able to wake up and write on paper to, transcribe messages,
mm-hmm.
kind of show that his brain activity was functioning. And it's gotten to the point now so quickly, he's been cleared medically, not to play football, but
to be released
from the hospital. And if you don't believe in miracles, this is one of those pickups to DeMar Hamlin for really overcoming something that would have killed most people, honestly. But the big thing that came out of this was people arguing over the skip tweet, arguing about whether, the game would go on.
Yeah.
Like, now that DeMar is okay, and we can talk about this openly, I guess it's more so the conversation I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
But Skip Bayless was the most prolific one. Yeah. But a lot of people, especially with it being the end of the season, into fantasy football for a lot of just, auxiliary players, i.e. fans.
Yeah.
Like, what is there to do with this game, business-wise? They end up canceling it.
Yeah.
But when Skip tweeted that, people were on his neck. And why do you think that is?
I think it's because, even though, because where's the sense of, I understand. And the thing about it is, I understand the question. The question was going to be asked regardless.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The question was going to be asked whether Skip Bayless asked Stephen A., anybody, any other sports journalist was going to ask that question. Even the news people was going to ask that question. But it was just a matter of, all right, why are we thinking about that quick? Like, within the first, in the first immediate time, why is that?
Somebody has to think
about
that.
Of course.
Roger
Goodell's thinking about that. But even when they said 5 minutes, people weren't even realizing the caliber of what just happened on the field.
You couldn't realize the caliber of what happened until they got to the hospital. Well, no, the CPR.
When you start having to give them CPR twice, then you start realizing the caliber.
Yeah.
So why are you, then the 5 minutes doesn't matter? Because then the man is still on the field. You know what I mean? And then, exactly. So, that's kind of where the frustration came from.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those thoughts that was best unspoken.
And then the thing about it, the messenger too.
Yeah, the messenger. Already ready
people
to
already
jump
don't.
Skip.
Yeah, people already They're don't like skip.
Ready, ready to jump on yeah. skip.
And yeah, so that's really where that comes from. It's the type of it's the emotions are high and everything. People are scared. People don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah. People are like certain
Somebody
that
might have died.
Yeah, we just everybody's seen a live death on television. Like, you know what I'm saying, type deal. And the biggest, my biggest thing about the whole thing was how young he was. How young yeah, he is. Yeah, he's 24. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He's 24. Yeah, yeah. Which is crazy.
He's 24 and he had a heart attack. You know what I mean? So, and that's just, and it, like you said, it's just a miracle, work to God, you know what I'm saying, whoever you believe in.
Yeah.
That, the, you know what I'm saying, the man is alive. You know what I'm saying? And he can talk and everything. He has full, like it seems like he has full.
He's going to be all right.
Yeah, so.
Even if you don't play football ever again. Yeah. It looks like he's gonna be all right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can be thankful for.
And it's charity, like raised like $5 million, like
went from $2,500 trying to get it to millions.
Yeah.
Like,
so and the thing about it is people be like, well, why weren't people doing it? Like, well, and people don't realize like if you can't do anything, if you can't do much, you can do something. Yo, you know what I'm saying? That's what that comes down to. Like, it's not about if people knew about it beforehand. It's the thing
whatever
of
whatever you can do
yeah,
at the time. You
this
20, do
it. This young, you know what I'm saying? This young man, this man of my age, had the initiative to have a charity set up, and it only had $2,500, and it was still going.
Yeah.
So, and people, somebody found it, was like, all right, well, let's donate to this. Let's do that. You know what I'm saying? If anything, this was what we can do to help this young man, and that's what a lot of people did. And it's a good miracle story too. Yeah. And oh shit, and we can kind of segue into what happened Sunday when the Bills played.
The two
kick returns.
Oh yeah, they
the
did
one
get
the
two
one
of
to
it.
Start off the game, a kick return to start off the game.
Uh-huh.
After the first game back since that happened, and then one in the second quarter, second half.
He went great. They showed out for DeMar.
They did,
game,
really
you know
did.
What I'm
yeah,
the
league did.
NFL had,
yeah.
Something to represent, you know what I'm saying? Him in the game. So that was really dope. It was the last week of the regular season.
Yeah.
And now we're in the playoffs.
Yeah, now we are in the playoffs. Shall we give...
Oh, Cowboys fan, I got the bye. Eagles fan here got the bye.
Yeah,
it's your turn to talk.
I know.
Because you got to make an excuse. Go ahead.
I don't have
ahead.
To make an excuse.
Go ahead and talk.
If anything, I'm one of the most honest
talk
Cowboys
about
fans.
It. Can talk
I,
can, about it. Then.
Are you going to let me talk?
No, because
you're
going to
let me talk.
You're trying to stall
gonna
out. Talk? You're stalling out.
Are you going to let me talk? Are you going to let me talk? You're always interrupting me.
Talk. I'm producing.
You're always interrupting me.
I'm producing.
You're always interrupting me.
I'm talking. I'm producing.
You always do this, Skip.
Okay, talk.
You always do this, Skip.
I'm injured. Go ahead.
You always
talk.
Do this, Skip.
Talk.
God
about the Cowboys.
Damn.
Talk about the Cowboys.
Well, shit. Last week, the fucking season was ridiculously terrible. I don't understand how the fuck, like, they expect to go to Tampa to play Tom Brady, who was 7-0, which I found out today that he's 7-0 against us. I don't understand how the fuck we're going to do that. But I do believe in us, though. I'm not going to say I don't think we're going to win, because I just have to have some faith in my team, right? But other than that, the Eagles have a bye week because they ended up winning the whole conference.
Yeah, we won out.
They won out. Yeah, didn't
well,
win
we,
out.
We
yeah,
didn't
yeah
win
that
out,
didn't win out. Yeah.
We
y'all
won
in
the
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Ahead.
So and then so the NFC right now, division leaders was you guys top one.
Yeah, we're gonna get the bye.
You get the bye,
y'all
the Minnesota.
Who y'all play?
We play Tampa.
And then Minnesota and 49ers play each other, correct?
Yeah, and then Seahawks and Giants?
I think so.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second. But who do you have coming? I think we're coming out the NFC.
Of course, I'm going to say my team. But if I'm being realistic, I believe it's going to come down to you and the 49ers, to the Eagles and 49ers.
All right. So, it's the Giants and... It's Giants and Minnesota.
Okay.
I got Minnesota taking that one. It's
Seattle
and the 49ers. I got the 49ers taking that one. And it's y'all in Tampa Bay.
I got us. I'm not going to
Eagles.
I'm not going to sit over here and say I'm not. I definitely have us.
AFC, it's Bengals, Ravens.
Now, this is the fun part.
Give me the Bengals, Miami, Buffalo. Miami is playing with a rookie fucking quarterback this week, so give me Buffalo.
Okay.
Chargers, Jags.
Give me Jags.
A coin toss. And then the Chiefs got the bye.
Give me Jags.
Yeah, and I'm then that's what I got this week.
I got, I can only give you, at this point in time, I can only
give
you.
We're
going
to go on first round.
Oh, we only going first round?
Yeah, so give me Bengals, Buffalo, Jaguars. Eagles ain't got to play, thank God. Tampa Bay, San Francisco, and the Vikings. My possible upset is the Seahawks.
Okay, give me Bengals. Give me Buffalo. Give me Jags. Give me Dallas. Give me San Fran. Give me Minnesota. I got Giants making an upset because Minnesota's fucking shaky.
And Danny Dimes is crazy.
Exactly.
If he break one loose, Kirk Cousins is going to be sick.
Exactly.
But Justin Jefferson is probably the best wide receiver in the league right now.
But it doesn't matter if Kirk Cousins doesn't show up.
But he be throwing that bitch.
Of course. Yeah, and
he do be throwing that. That's one thing we got to give it to him. And I be throwing that bitch.
But it depends on if Kirk Cousins wants to show up and play.
Yeah. I mean, not once, but I know you're saying, that's going to be a fucking good
game. That's going to be a good game. We got some good games lined up.
That's
going to
be the most competitive game.
You think so?
Y'all.
Yeah.
Because y'all are really trying.
Exactly.
Because y'all think y'all can beat us.
It's really. Yeah, I think so, too. I don't know. But I think so, too.
Y'all think y'all can beat us.
I think so, too. Because we haven't played with a healthy quarterback. Yeah. Neither team has played each other with a healthy quarterback this year. So I think that's really the tale of the story and the tale of that tape. And then the 7-0 record with Tom Brady in Dallas right now is the tale of the tape. And Tom Brady and Dak finally get to see each other in the playoffs too.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's
Who gives a fuck about Tom Brady and Dak seeing each other in playoffs? Only Cowboys
fans.
That's what I'm saying.
So you just said as a Cowboys fan, I'm going to talk my shit. I'm going to talk what I have to talk about my team.
SMH.
Yeah, but fuck SMH. It. Well, yeah, Tom Brady's old as shit.
So is Vince McMahon.
So is, oh my gosh. And seemingly both of them are still overdoing their job a little bit sometimes.
Oh, that's a good. All right, yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Because right now, so Vince McMahon stepped away from WWE
for a month.
After those
3 months.
Allegations we talked about. Not even allegations, like.
He did the shit.
With one of the women that was working with him. Blah, blah.
He did the shit.
It wasn't like anything criminal, like nothing heinous. He was just having an affair with the woman that worked at WWE. So if you think workplace relationships are heinous, got a whole new thing to tell you about everything before 2014.
Damn, what happened before 2014?
I mean, that's when people started saying you can't fuck your coworkers.
That was?
And not like probably not that early, but you know what I'm saying. But
damn, not that early.
What's happened with Vince McMahon is he comes back to WWE, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the rumor is...
This all happened in the week.
Yeah, within a week, he comes back to WWE. Stephanie steps down.
Tuesday.
From all her positions. And it seems like he's going to try to do a fire sale of WWE because something is impending. Mm-hmm. Something's about to happen. So he does come back. He drops the people from the board, creates the new board. Like you said, Stephanie and all of them step down, or her.
Just her,
specifically
yeah.
steps down. And we hear rumors overnight that he's trying to sell WWE.
No, we heard rumors that he sold that bitch.
To the Saudi Arabian government. Which, they say that it was most likely true. But there is some contention to that.
Yeah.
But then, later on that actual day.
Yeah, today.
Yeah, today, the day of this recording.
Wednesday,
the day of this recording, we find out that Vince McMahon is about to be a part of 81-party class action lawsuit, essentially saying that he had the 81% stake of
voting control to illegally. A shareholder is suing Vince, accusing him of using his 81% voting control to illegally control WWE and threaten to interfere with media rights.
And that's pretty much, I feel like, they found out about this deal and immediately did this.
Yeah. Had to push it through.
Mainly because if the Saudi Arabian government owned something, think about the restriction. There would be no women's wrestling.
Women's division.
Like, that's really the big conversation about this. Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's not. The big conversation is Vince doesn't know how to stay out of hot water at this point in his life.
Yeah, and the other biggest conversation, how do you fumble that big?
In what way?
To where you would just give over, like, you know what I'm saying? And that's how I see it. I see it as something like, I don't know. You can say a little bit of nationalism or some shit like that. I see it's like, how you let something American own like that just get sold off like that?
They got a lot of fucking money, and they Vince has always wanted.
Is that what I'm saying? It's greed overpowers all that.
No, Vince has always, you got to realize, wrestling would not be what it is without Vince's greed.
Yeah.
The fact that Vince was sitting up there with the Can-Can girls doing the dance for the first WrestleMania, and Vince did the hair versus hair match, and Vince was a character. It's always been a combination of Vince's ego and Vince's money. Mm-hmm. Whatever was going to make the most money and make him look the best was what he was going to do.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
And what Vince did for professional wrestling is eons greater than what Kanye did to modern rap, than what Lil B did to modern rap, than what Lil Wayne did to modern rap, than what Drake did to modern rap. We would not be able to watch wrestling on TV without Vince McMahon.
And the shit that we did watch on TV.
Vince McMahon made wrestling a sport for a minute.
Nah, he did.
And even when it was sports entertainment, still dominated households to the point where Royal Rumble has become a colloquial phrase.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the fucking Royal... You could have never seen a wrestling match in your life, and you know what the Royal Rumble is. Oh, you know what a Royal Rumble is.
Exactly.
You see 10 people fighting. That's a fucking Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't never seen a Swanton Bomb.
Yep. Shit. It's not even that. It's just like... Just a simple shit, like with Vince, like the characters that Vince created. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people know who the, like, people, you know who The Undertaker is just as well as you know who Shaq is. Like, you know what I'm saying?
The Rock.
You know who John Cena. You know who John Cena is just as well as you know the, you know what I'm saying, LeBron James. You know what I'm saying? The Rock. All them people. These are all Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you got to think. This is Rick, you know what I'm saying? Ric Flair is older, but still, like, Ric Flair was still able to shine through Vince. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Vince didn't hold the people that he needed back.
See, the thing
he did hold them back to. He still held people back, but he held them within their constraints.
The thing is, the sale is bad for the fan base, but it's great for Vince. Because Vince goes out on top making billions of dollars from an idea his father made.
Yeah, he goes up on
the took the family business from thousands to billions in their pocket.
Yeah. He goes up on the Forbes list. Yeah.
But, hey.
Oh, nah, because I seen the change of shit. WWE's like, it's like 6.6 billion, something like that. Yeah. It's a big ass, that's big. I didn't realize, well, of course it's that big when you realize how global it is.
Yeah, bro, when they can sell it to Saudi Arabia.
Fucking merch.
Crown Jewel is done in Saudi Arabia.
Exactly, and it's only because of something. It's only because they were trying to sue Vince because of that shit.
But
the Saudis want. They want WWE. Yeah. They want that shit.
Speaking of, they do. I don't know if they want WWE. I think they realize, I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't understand with their laws how they're going to do the same product. And that's the biggest point about them owning it, I feel like. How do they do the same product or anything close to it?
Do they just keep it American ran?
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't because of the shit that Americans allow.
Do you think they would take it away from America?
Yeah. I don't think they would take it away from America, I don't think they would take it away from America, but I don't think it would be a product Americans want.
Yeah, I think they would.
Because it's barely a product Americans want now. And that's under, you know what I'm saying? It just got there. It's just getting in good graces in the past few months, for real, for real.
I'm going to say, AEW checkbook was about to get
overdrafted. I mean, AEW checkbook is unlimitedly. They own the Jaguars and all that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're
Tony Khan. Yeah,
they're billionaires. But I get a bad segue. Speaking of billionaires and rich people.
All gathered in one place?
Yeah. Recently, the Golden Globes occurred last night, mm-hmm. and Jerrod Carmichael, comedian Jerrod Carmichael, mm-hmm. You probably know him from the Jerrod Carmichael Show, if you do know him.
He's on SNL.
Other shit. Yeah, SNL, also a fucking stand-up comedian on HBO, other shit. He hosted, and that was really the big highlight. You want to do the winners, and then we'll talk about him?
I don't want to do all the winners.
I mean, the ones we care about.
Yeah, Evan Peters got one for actor in miniseries, the Jeffrey Dahmer Jane.
Yeah, we knew it.
Abbott Elementary got one for teen for comedy TV,
which I
series.
Started watching today, and it's a fucking hilarious
very
show.
Very good show. The White Lotus, which I need to start, it's on HBO.
Yeah, it's good.
They said TV miniseries. Supporting actress in limited series, Jennifer Coolidge. You may know her from the American Pie movies.
Yeah. Jennifer Coolidge.
Tyler James Williams, supporting actor in TV series. Everybody hates Chris.
Well, it wasn't for that. It was for Abbott Elementary. Yeah, but you would know him from.
Let me see what else we got. Eddie Murphy for Cecil B. He got an award.
It's like probably like a lifetime achievement.
Yeah, lifetime. Yeah. Zendaya, actress in drama, for Euphoria, which she's gonna get the Emmy.
She's gonna get every award every year for that show comes out.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg, The Fablemans, director of a motion picture. So yeah, they do mm-hmm. movies at this chain. Where's the Amanda Seinfeld? I don't know who that is, but I know Kevin Costner for Yellowstone, Babylon original score, which I need to see too. I still want to see that movie. Pinocchio animated feature film. That's about it on that page. Austin, Argentina. House of Dragons. That's what I want to say. Drama TV series. That one.
Okay.
And Angela Bassett, supporting actress in motion picture for Black Panther 2.
Really?
Wakanda Forever. Yeah, I have not seen that movie yet though.
I haven't either. It's on Disney Plus yet. So those are the winners.
Those are a lot of the standout ones, yeah.
The big news was the fucking, I'm trying to produce and talk at the same time, which I can do, but I gotta.
Mm-hmm.
The big news is that Jerrod Carmichael fucking hosted it, and the jokes he was making. He addressed them not really having a black host, and him being the first in however many years,
mm-hmm.
damn near 80 years.
Because
mm-hmm. It's usually Ricky Gervais, they say, or some like, hold on, let me get my thoughts together more so that, because this is more so a complicated subject, because to know Jerrod Carmichael is kind of like really what's going to put this in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have started there. I fucked up. Jerrod Carmichael is a gay black comedian.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a clean comedian. He's a dark humor comedian almost. Yeah. He's a real life that intellectual comedy, if you want to say that, type route comedian. And they let him host something like the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Which is an open playground for a smart person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
Anytime somebody gets a hosting position like that, it is.
It's a smart person, yeah.
Especially when they're around all the people that they talk about most of the time.
Yeah. And that's what I, pre-fucking-sizely, that's exactly what I was trying to say and I couldn't say earlier.
Yeah.
Is that he went out there and he did the, this place is racist.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all support Scientology. He did everything to poke fun at the organization and the patrons of that award show to the point that I feel like it's almost getting buried as a hosting performance.
Probably so.
Because, yeah, we did get the Eddie Murphy Will Smith joke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know, when he won his award, we got all that.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting some Eddie stand-up this year, I think, on Netflix.
You think so?
Yeah, no, I think he signed a deal for it. Like, I think that was...
Yeah.
He's getting... We're getting more Eddie this year. I damn near can almost guarantee that. I'll bet on that.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? So this is kind of riveting him up. But that wasn't... Like, that was the big story over Jerrod Carmichael hosting this show and just nitpicking Hollywood. the entire time, and not in the way that you got a DUI.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The way that, like, where is this woman?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are racist. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a fuck you. That's the brilliant, smart part about it. He didn't have to say fuck you to be snarky.
Yeah, I think you can't be in those situations. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you're hosting something like that, you're going to...
No, you can.
You can, but you have to be real, like... You have to build, like, real, damn, what the hell is the word I'm looking for?
Because you can one and done it. You can just go all out and say, fuck it.
Yeah, of course. But sometimes you have to figure out if you like it.
But if you sneak and say, fuck it, because that's what he did. Mm-hmm. They won't let him do it again.
Nah, I don't think so.
You know what I'm saying? They won't let him do it again.
Nah, they won't.
So what? Okay.
They're trying to be very progressive. That's the thing about it. That's why you're doing that.
By letting him do it?
Yeah. And I think he understood that. So that's why he had to go as hard as he did.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to use me as your card. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Hey, we're being progressive. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because what he said they didn't have one last year because they didn't have any black nominees.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So... And then you just decide to get the hottest, you know what I'm saying, one of the newest, more progressive, you know what I'm saying, because he just came out this year, last year, you know what I'm saying?
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did, on a stand-up.
Gerard Carmichael has been out for years, bro.
Who was the dude that just came out on a stand-up? Like you just said, there was a dude that, it was on his stand-up that he came out.
Oh, came out the closet.
Yeah.
I thought you meant came out like as a comedian. Goddamn, just slapped me twice and called me stupid. My bad.
All right, I'll call you stupid. My bad, bro. Yeah, but yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, okay, so yeah. So why wouldn't they
use... I don't even think it's coming. You know what I'm saying? Like...
Yeah, it's 2020.
My bad. I don't mean to seem like super progressive, bro. Nah, really. But when you said came out, I literally thought you meant...
Oh, can I not say that? Can we not say that no more?
No, that's not a fucking... A bad thing, but I didn't register to me. You were talking about him coming out as gay at all.
Yeah,
it didn't at all.
Yeah, because it's not. Like, it's not a thing.
That fucking show like 10 years old, nigga. What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, true. But I'm saying it's like because it's not a thing no more. But when it happened, when he said something about it on his thing,
So that's confirmation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's
like we're talking about Tyler Creator. I don't think he ain't confirmed.
Yes, he has. He's very sarcastic.
He hasn't said, "Yeah, I'm gay."
He talks about men on his songs.
Gerard Carmichael. He talked about men. He asked his mom in one like especially. They were like, "What'd y'all do if I was gay?" You know what I'm saying? Like
it's like telling you the truth and not telling you the truth.
I mean, we're not psychologists, but I know what you're saying. But yeah. Gerard Carmichael, he ain't also going and it's not because he's gay. And it's not because he's black. It's because he's too smart for him.
No, I'm saying that's why he picked him.
That's why they... No, I'm saying
he's... Oh, yeah, that's not why
he's not hosting.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, it's not because of that.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, all right, we're going to find another one.
A dumber person.
Yeah, we're going to find an Asian.
Hey, yo, I didn't say that.
I did.
Hey, fucking Mooley.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
I can say that it's like the N-word.
I guess so. It's still a racial slur that people aren't used to.
From your favorite show.
Oh, yeah. And yours, too. I'm going to say it's yours, too.
I don't know. Sometimes I like The Sopranos more. Not, because I was about to say The Wire. I guess I just like The Sopranos more. Sopranos, what, 25th anniversary?
24.
Ooh. Wow. 24 years.
It came out a year after. Damn.
Talk on it, Nate.
I really can't. I want you to talk about it. You watched it way more times than I have. You put me onto it, for real, bro.
Well, I mean, what do you want
you
me to...
You put me on the game, so what's your favorite... All right, that's what I'm going to say. What's your favorite episode or favorite scenes from them? Let's go through the list. Favorite character.
My favorite character for... So to celebrate 24 years of The Wire, we're talking about... not The Wire, the fucking Sopranos. Yeah. We're talking about The Sopranos. My favorite character from The Sopranos is still Chrissy.
Still Chrissy?
Yeah, still Chrissy.
What about Chrissy resonates with you?
What about Chrissy resonate? It's not that it resonates. It's just like Chrissy is the new generation. He's the one. Yeah. Like he's the one that could have been saved. Mm-hmm. If Tony didn't have a son, that would Chrissy would be his son. Mm. Like what makes Chrissy have to be so hard is because AJ is so soft.
Oh, yep, that's true. Yep.
And, but Chrissy is also a fucking fatherless addict.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whose big cousin is raised, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but he wants to be a playwright, though. You know what I'm saying? He has aspirations. Like,
but the drugs. he's still on that boy.
He killed a dog.
So yeah, on accident he fell asleep. But Chrissy's probably my favorite character. My favorite scene is probably when the rapper is asking Bobby to shoot him. Just because it's like...
Because that was the most random episode, yeah. Bro. Like that.
Bobby getting it in that way is just so that's fucking just, dumb. Yeah, there's a lot more scenes I can recall. What else? When Tony daydreams the woman in the garden behind his house. When she's hanging up the laundry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another really good scene. Because it goes to show a lot about Tony.
And
there's a scene where fucking Edie Falco goes to the attic and grabs an AK-47.
Oh, yeah, I remember that episode.
Yep. Yeah,
your
favorite character in scenes?
Oh, well, my favorite character, of course, Paulie. Paulie. There's no way around it.
R.I.P.
Yes, R.I.P. for a fact. Always going to be my favorite character. Because Paulie just... He really had him and Sylvie had the mafioso. They embodied the mafioso. I have a shit ton of other favorite characters. You can Steve Buscemi's character, that was one of my favorite.
Tony B.
Yeah, Tony B. Cousin Tony B. Ralphie, that's one of my favorite characters.
I hate Ralphie.
I like Ralphie. Just
but he's a good character.
He's a good character. That's the reason why I hate his voice.
The actor killed that shit.
Yeah, but him as a voice actor is fucking amazing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he does a lot of voice acting. But my favorite episode, she's like when the whole part, what was it, like season four?
Twin Baron, the snow episode?
No. It's like the whole plot, like the underlying plot line behind season four is because Paulie and dude from New York, I forget the name.
Johnny Sacks
are kind of going back and forth because Paulie said the joke about his wife.
Oh, the mole on the ass.
Yeah, the mole on the ass.
The mole on Jimmy's ass.
That's like the whole underlying beef between New Jersey and New York right now.
That is hilarious.
And Paulie's in jail. the whole time this shit is going
that
on.
Is hilarious.
So yeah, that's just funny. And anytime Paulie says something twice, he says the whole phrase twice and then laughs again and expects everybody to laugh with him. That shit is hilarious. When they were extorting Meadows' soccer coach. What's soccer coach?
The pedophile.
No, not the pedophile. Well, they were extorting him at a sports store. He's a degenerate.
That wasn't her sports coach, was it?
That was her soccer coach.
What the fuck?
No, that was the one that was moving. And they came with the TV. They said, we got a brand new TV.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. That is crazy when they took over the sports store. Yeah, that is one of actually my favorite B plots too. Mm-hmm. Is them taking over the stores.
Yeah, because
he tries to kill himself.
Tony's like, "Yo, you gotta pay me money. You can't be out here killing yourself." and Dr. Melfi too. We cannot talk about 24.
Oh, you love Dr. Melfi.
Oh yeah, of course. Oh shit, I should go. Don't let me start talking about Edie Falco then. Goddamn,
like Dr. Melfi. Yeah. Ah, shit. But happy 24th anniversary to The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to get out this episode?
Oh, yeah, I do. Did you know that James Cameron is about to put Titanic back in theaters? Like, Titanic's going
on. I can see that. I mean, it's in 4K now.
Yeah. And I'm going to go
I'm
see
I'm not going to go watch
I'm
3 hours
go,
of Titanic.
I'm going to go see that shit.
I'm not seeing that in theater for 3 hours.
Actually, really, I just sat there and did it twice in a weekend.
Yeah, you got
so.
That much.
Yeah, because I saw Avatar. Avatar's good movies. James Cameron really hates Marvel movies because he's making sure all his movies get back on top as far as, like, selling and shit. Like, that's what I realized, too. But outside of that, that's about it.
Want to give the spiel or should I give it?
You should give it. My mouth's kind of dry.
Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in to the last episode. The first episode.
Jesus.
Of the... God...
Maybe
thank you everybody for tuning in to the first episode of 2023 of the podcast presented by Simple Map Matrix. It's your boy Mr. AK Super 357, best known as Prince Godbody, and I want to say you got to follow us on every platform.
You have to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have
and
to.
And to add on that, it's Simple Math Matrix, as like it's spelled out on the fucking profile or wherever you're listening or watching this at.
Unless it's Twitter,
which it'll be Simple Math, SimpleMathMTRX. And you can find us everywhere on every social media site at Simple Math Matrix.
Even Facebook.
By Twitter. Shit, we're back with a whole new season. Hopefully we'll be able to get some good new interviews up for y'all. Already got some Boondocks rolling for y'all. Hopefully we get some fucking permanent records rolling for y'all. We trying to just chill with the audience again. And we appreciate y'all hanging with us. Like
trying to be on the move more this year. You know what I'm saying? Do a little more of everything.
And Nate's New York accent.
Yeah,
B. It's your boy, Mr. A.K.A. Superout 357.
And it's the guy, King Hoopla, B.
We out. Peace.